Please join me in the prayer of invocation. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O Lord God, you fill heaven and earth with your presence, and your eyes have watched over the foundation of the earth. We have heard the distant sound of your voice in prophets and apostles from long ago, but we are hard of hearing, so hard of hearing. Our eyes are dim and cannot see. Come near, Lord, and touch us with your presence. Lay your hand upon our hearts to bring forth your praise. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For our responsive reading, we're going to read Psalm 80, which is actually located on page 801. And instead of skipping verses, we're just going to read all 19. 801. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth in the presence of Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us.
Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You make us the scorn of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it.
You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land.
The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit?
The boar from the forest ravages it, and all who move in the field feed on it.
Turn again, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see.
Have regard to this vine, the star which your right hand planted.
They have burned it with fire, they have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
We have a few announcements, but before I get to the
report, as in the past, as we raise some funds for the school in Haiti, I just want to mention once again, refresh everyone's memory regarding the children's clothing swap. There was an insert in the program. That's kind of the original promotional information. On the table in the back are the brochures or the flyers that we're now releasing, and these have been designed for the public. And we're well underway. We provided Lenore's Pantry with a gift of $500 to help them continue to deal with some of the food insecurity that's in the community. And I have to say, just so you're aware, because we're always promoting Lenore's Pantry, they are challenged with food coming in. They are purchasing more food because when it comes to meats in particular, Joan said to me they need to go out and purchase. And so we provided them with five $100 gift cards just a couple of weeks ago. And she is fully aware of this children's clothing swap. We decided to, the committee just met this past week, and you'll see on the flyer, originally we were saying there'd be an entry fee of $10. That would be a donation to Lenore's Pantry. And we decided to kind of operate like the rummage sale. The folks can come in. I'm saying they can take several bags of clothing, but it all depends upon how much we receive. We may say take as much as you need. But as they're exiting, it'll be another point of contact just to chat with them, make sure they're leaving with a brochure concerning the church. And then we're asking for a minimum of $5 donation or more. So once again, I discussed that with Joan. She's actually feels better about doing that as well. If someone simply can't afford to make a donation, then so be it. But she already, we sent this as a PDF to her. She shared it with her network. She emailed me back. She said, I've got posters up around Town Hall. And the committee, we have a list of about 25 different organizations. And some, for example, in a couple of weeks, once the schools are kind of up and running, I'm going to be visiting the public schools in North Attleboro in particular, and possibly in Attleboro, just seeing if they can share the information with the parents. But the folks have ticked off the locations where they're going to drop off flyers. We're reaching out to daycare centers, including our own that's in our facility, and seeking donations, or more so letting people also know that whether they're a donor or not of clothing, they're welcome to come and take clothing that they could use for their family. So your support, there's flyers down on the table. If you take as many as you want, just get word out, particularly to your family, your network of friends. And the last thing I'll say is Sandy and Walter. Sandy's on the committee. They're working with us as well. Walter has his network of organizations. We're trying to get information out on Facebook, and they in particular are helping us do that. So thank you for your support as we move ahead with this.
Thank you, Martha and Gil. I would remind you that the worship time of 9:30 will be only two more weeks worth, and then we will be changing back to our 10 o'clock service on the first Sunday in September. Kathy has been on vacation. She's due back in the office this coming Tuesday. Sherilyn, would you like to come up and tell us about the Special Olympics? Excuse me, the Summer Olympics. I have to go to
They're still special.
Actually, the Family Olympics. They may be special. They are during the summer. We're calling them the Family Olympics. August 27th, we'll be hoping to have a Family Olympics and cookout at 4 o'clock across the street in the lawn at the CE building. We're asking people just the RSVP so we have a sense of how many people will be there. And there also would be an opportunity if people are interested in bringing an item of food for the cookout. You can sign up for that when you RSVP. The RSVP is done, if you're able, online. You can, if you go to the church website under events, you'll see the Family Olympics and cookout listed there. There'll be a link you can click on there to RSVP. I believe it's also up on the church's Facebook page, our Sunday school group page. So you can get to the link that way as well. If anyone is has difficulty with the technical part and finding it, you can always just let me know if you're planning on attending as well. I don't want to leave anybody out. It is kind of, we're inviting everybody of all ages from the church, family, friends, neighbors, anyone is welcome to join us. And again, that will be Saturday, August 27th at 4:00. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherilyn. And if we are all invited, then we are special. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting time for sure. I have a more serious announcement to make at this time. There has been an incident at the CE building, and I'm not going to go into exactly what happened, but you can certainly ask me later, which has made us decide that we have to keep the outside entry door to the CE building locked whenever there's anyone in the building. If you need to get into the CE building, try to remember that Kathy and I are usually only here on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but call us or make an appointment ahead of time. Call the church office to let us know you are coming, and we will do our best. We will try to be here to get let you in. If you have a code, of course, you can get in to the entry at any time, and if you need one, be in touch with me or the office, and we will see what we can do, okay? So this will probably have to be for the CE as well, for Sunday school. Yeah. Okay. Are there any other announcements? I thought that, Dave, you might want to make one.
So with September coming, we are trying to get back in the swing of choir. And yeah. And we're going to start slow, and we're going to probably not have as many members, but we're going to try to put together whatever we can. I'm thinking we start rehearsing in September, let church get started a little bit, and then we'll be starting to sing maybe by October, by the first week of October. So I'm going to send out a notice. Kathy will post it, send out an email if you want to talk to me about it. But we're going to start back with the Thursday night rehearsals at 7:00 as of September. And anybody that wants to come can come, and anybody that wants to just have a little interest or just want to come to check it out, by all means. But we're going to try to start putting something together in September to hopefully have choir by October up and running. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? All right, seeing none, then let us remember how much God truly has blessed each and every one of us as we present our morning's gifts and our tithes and our
morning. And dedicate to the glory of God is in our hymnal. It's an old spiritual called Fix Me, Jesus. And we don't often sing it. The choir has done it before. It's actually in the funeral and memorial part of our hymnal. But I think Fix Me, Jesus is appropriate anytime. I know I had a few things happened this week that I needed Jesus to fix me, so I'd like to do this song.
Fix me. me. Oh, oh, fix me. Oh, fix me. Fix me, Jesus, fix me. Oh, fix me. Oh, fix me. Oh, fix me. Fix me, Jesus, fix me. Fix me. Help me know what's wrong and right. Fix me, Jesus, fix me. Oh, help me till my end. Fix me, Jesus, fix me. Help me to understand my friends. Fix me, Jesus, fix me. Oh, fix me. Oh, fix me. Fix me, fix me, Jesus, fix me.
Amen.
Amen. And this is the time we share our celebrations. There's just one that I would like to mention, and that is the fact that our junior deacon, Allie Darling, she's at the back. Wave to everyone, Allie, so you know that she's back there. She is going to be going off to school at Wheaton. And this is your first year in college, so we want to wish you the very best. She's one of the best deacons we've ever had, frankly. And so, yeah, right. I'm just saying. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, she's been wonderful, and she hopes to stay with us, and she's going to be in the area, so that's good to hear. Very good to hear. Any other celebrations that you would like to lift up at this time? Yes, absolutely. We sound pretty pathetic, don't we, without them. Absolutely. Thank you, Cheryl. Yeah. Yes, Martha. A new baby in your family? Oh, yes. Nice. Oh, boy. Yeah. They're going to have their hands full. Yep. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Gil. Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday, Charlie. Oh, you mean Sherilyn. I know. You said child.
First child.
First child. Congratulations and happy birthday to you, Sherilyn.
I'd like to thank Sherilyn for filling in for me last week, mm-hmm. and she's going to be filling in for me next week. So I could have a couple of Sundays off.
Very good.
Before we start with the busy fall season.
Absolutely.
So I Very appreciate good. That.
And we are scheduled to have a baptism next Sunday too, which is kind of nice. Sorry you'll miss that. Anyway, any other celebrations? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. I understand that Ed Dyer was hospitalized this past week. But I got held up trying to get to see him at Sturdy, and he was gone when I got there, and I have yet to catch up with him, but I will try to find out what's going on with him. We continue to pray for Richard Lamoureux at home. I think he's doing a lot better. We pray for people with ongoing medical issues, Jen, Katie, Marilyn, Lee, and Christine Mitchell's father, Michael. We pray for those who are in the nursing home or assisted living, Jackie Glass in hospice care, which I continue to marvel at the fact she's really doing fairly well, which is great to hear. and Carolyn Farrell, and also Nancy Kelly at the Branches. We always pray, too, for all of those who struggle with addictions. We certainly continue to pray for our nation and for the well-being of the world during these very trying times, and we especially pray for the people of Ukraine, who are in a very difficult situation, certainly.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I did want to say that I did see Nancy at the Branches. That's Kathy's mom.
Yes.
And she came up and introduced herself, and she was in good spirits, and I told her we're praying for her, and she said she really appreciates all the prayers.
That's nice.
I said, we mention you every week. She said, you do? And so she appreciates the prayers, and she's doing rehab and hoping to get home soon.
Okay, thank you for that, Dave. Absolutely. And as usual, we pray for our monthly mission, which is the Jean M. Parisot Foundation and the school in Haiti, as well as the upcoming one for our swap. So let us be in a moment of prayer and feel free at the time to even call out loud any names that you wish to add to our prayers this morning. Let us pray. O holy God, like Isaiah the prophet, we stand in awe of your glory, feeling tremendously small and damaged by our sin and the sin of our society. Even so, you touch us with your burning presence, and we are made clean and whole. O God, our Creator, continue to build this household of faith into what you want us to be. O Christ, our Savior, lead us to do your will. O Spirit, our power, strengthen us for the work of the kingdom, a worship and a service which is ours today as well as tomorrow. We are here to offer you our lives and our cares as we ask you to receive those whose names we have mentioned into your loving and healing arms, and be attentive to those whose names we now lift into your presence. Loving God, fill this place and us, your people, with your presence, for yours is the power and the glory, now and always. Amen.
Last week, we heard about Abraham's despair of being a man without children or bloodline heirs in the book of Genesis at the very beginning of the Bible. God made a covenant with Abraham and promised him heirs, as many as the stars in the heavens. Abraham believed God and that the covenant has held for over 6,000 years through Judaism and was passed on to us as Christians. The reading comes from the letter, also called an epistle, to the Hebrews, and it's found near the end of the New Testament. I will be reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 29 through 40, and chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Please hear these words. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Now, chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Our middle hymn is number 102. Now thank we all our God. We're going to sing the first and the last verse.
You may have heard me talk about the common lectionary. That is a listing of scripture readings suggested by a group of biblical scholars for each Sunday of the year, and it gives us something to start with when we're looking for a sermon. And there are usually at least three suggested readings. Generally, there's one from the Old Testament, there's one from the New Testament or the Gospels, and there's one from the epistles, the letters, as Wayne explained this morning. The lectionary is basically designed to get through the Bible in the course of 3 years and to repeat it all again. But of course, 7 or 8 verses at a time is not going to cover anything near everything in the Bible. Nevertheless, there are a series of readings suggested for August this year that are found in the epistle or the letter to the Hebrews. Most of the New Testament epistles were written by St. Paul. He wrote them back to the churches he had founded. There are other letters written by Peter and John. And then we have this very, very different letter called the Letter to the Hebrews. It's entirely anonymous, and we have no idea who wrote it. We only know that it was written to those Jews who had become Christian, but who were now deserting the faith and returning to their Jewish roots. The letter is really one long, sustained argument proving, in the author's mind anyway, the preeminence of Christianity as a faith. We assume that they were turning away from Christianity because it was a really tough going for those who were following Jesus Christ at that time. They faced opposition from the Jewish authorities because those powerful leaders did not believe that Jesus was the promised Jewish Messiah. And they faced persecution by the Roman authorities because they were seen as an enemy to the Roman emperor. You may recall that Jesus was actually convicted and put to death because of the charge of treason that he put himself over Caesar. Of course, that was not at all what Jesus was doing, but that was the charge, that he was trying to overthrow the emperor of Rome, what we would call seditious conspiracy today, wouldn't we? The writer of Hebrews turns to the very heroes of the Jewish faith to pull them back into the faith revealed by Jesus Christ. Earlier in this 11th chapter, he mentions Adam's son, he mentions Abel and Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph and Jacob. He continues the narrative this morning by mentioning Moses, who is certainly considered to be among the greatest of the prophets of the Hebrews, saying that there was not enough time to mention all the others, like Gideon and Barak and Samson and Samuel and David and all the prophets of the Jewish scriptures. In this catalog of Old Testament heroes, the writer of Hebrews points out the importance of faith in the unseen purposes of God, despite all of the evidence to the contrary. Our faith is supposed to be a future-oriented faith, the assurance of things hoped for. And the future is always unknown. We're always on the edge, aren't we? We are always anxious about what's coming down the pike, as much so now as in Old Testament times as well. And it may be greeted with faith or it may be greeted with fear. Abraham chose faith, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. We know only that Abraham's name today because of his confident faith in God. In the biblical view, that history leads somewhere and has a purpose somewhere. It proposes, moreover, that a personal and loving God is directing history's course, has acted decisively in history through people like Moses and Jesus, and stands at the end of time. It is only in this faith that life really makes any kind of sense. We also believe that Jesus shaped a new moral order, and through our faith we can work for truth and goodness. Whatever the exact shape of the future, the believer approaches it with faith, not fear, with the assurance that God's will and purpose shall be done on earth as in heaven, as we pray every week in the Lord's Prayer. In this way, we can be comfortable with the future and even feel good about it, even when the news and the people around us are saying that Armageddon is just around the corner. Do we have faith in the future? It's difficult sometimes, especially when the media assail us with all sorts of bad news that seems to suggest that our society and our nation is going down the tubes. The lawlessness and the lack of justice seems to be the way of the future. And I don't know about you, but I am not very comfortable with those goals. Charles Kettering, the mechanical and electrical genius of the automotive industry, was actively inventing even well into his 80s, believe it or not. And he talked continually to the much younger assistants at General Motors about the future. And one day one of them asked, "Why are you so interested in the future? You know, you're 88 years old or something." And Kettering said, "Why? I'm interested in the future because I have to spend all the rest of my life in it." And we could say that too, that many of us, many of you, have children, and you would like them to enjoy what we have been able to enjoy. There's a young boy in the Mel Lazarus comic strip, and he tells Miss Peach, remember her, the teacher? He goes up to Miss Peach, and he says, "What frightens him most about life is realizing that my future is in the hands of a hopelessly incompetent fool, namely me." Yeah, our futures are in our own hands. And the only antidote for that fear is faith. Faith not in oneself, which contains the fear of the fool, but faith in God and the unfolding future of the heavenly kingdom. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews wrote of an anticipation of a homeland and a and the hope and energy that that infused. The author of this letter, he says, all people are seeking a homeland. They desire a better country that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God has prepared a city for them and for us. Have you ever heard of the Luddites? Have you heard that word? Any of you? Yeah, I see a few people nodding and a few saying, uh-oh, never heard of them. They were a band of workers in England from 1811 to 1860 who were obsessed and feared about the future. Specifically, they feared change and how it would affect their jobs. Their leader was Jed Ludd, and these followers became known as Luddites, and they went around destroying as much machinery as they possibly could during the Industrial Revolution. The transition from plow to punch press filled them with absolute fear and anxiety. They believed their future was at risk from this new technology of the day. Machine power would replace human power. They believed they could stop change and they could fight the future. And so the name Luddite has come to mean anyone who tries to perpetuate the status quo. We're not going back to the normal we knew before COVID, are we? And by the way, I'm so pleased that you chose that as our middle hymn. Now, thank we all our God. Do you know any idea of the background of that? It was written during the Black Plague. Now, thank we all our God in the midst of a plague. Well, here we are again, still sort of in the midst of a plague. And we need to thank God for all that God has done with us. As a society, we are in a very similar place. It sounds like what we hear some people talk about with the great replacement theory. People are terrified they're going to be replaced in this society. They have no faith in the future. These people are just like the Luddites of the 18th century. Some of the fear that I see in society today is the same as 200 years ago in England. People who lack the faith to embrace the future and try to stop it. History tells us there's no stopping time and there's no stopping change. Society has been undergoing an enormous structural change, a revolution now from that very thing, the industrial society, to a super industrial society. This change overwhelms some people. The accelerated rate of technology and social change has left people disconnected and disoriented. Historians distinguish three stages in the development of society and production. The first stage began in the period of the Neolithic era when people invented agriculture, thereby passing from barbarity to a civilization. The second stage began in England with the Industrial Revolution, during which people invented the machine tool and the steam engine. The third stage began in the second half of the 20th century in the West, when we invented automatic production, robotics, and the computer. And that terrifies a lot of people. Our economy is no longer based on agriculture or manufacturing. It is now based on technology and information. So many people feel like the Luddites. They fought manufacturing by the use of machinery. We are making a very difficult transition away from manufacturing as a way of life for large portions of society. The majority of people living in the United States now earn their living by going to an office or a business that employs them in the service industry, stores, hotels, restaurants, hospitals, you name it. It's not to say that all of our manufacturing will cease. No, not at all. And we can't live without farmers. By the way, do you know why 11 o'clock was always the sacred hour in the Protestant church from the time of the pilgrims? Because it gave the farmers time to go out and milk the cows. That's why we ended up at 11 o'clock. Absolutely. When we are fearful, or at least uncomfortable of the future, the tendency is to look longingly to the past. It's something of a disease called nostalgia. This desire for the past easily beckons to us so that we frequently long for things as they used to be, yet our memories are selective. Our nostalgia is for only a portion of the past. My father fondly remembered the good old days when you could buy 2 hamburgers for a quarter. But you know what? I bet it cost him more time and toil for that quarter than it cost me for my salary to buy a hamburger. Do we want to go back there, really? But if you know history, you know that those quarters came just as hard as our salaries come today. We should not forget the length of the breadlines of the Great Depression. Most of us were not there, but we've heard about it. Perhaps we don't want to go back after all. When people wax nostalgic with me, I usually say just one word: anesthesia. I don't want to undergo surgery without anesthesia. I don't know about you. Or it could be penicillin, or it could even be the COVID vaccine. I would suggest that COVID has produced a new population of Luddites. Just one example. Think of the anti-vaxxers. Now, I understand that not everybody can nor should get the vaccine. There are medical issues involved. But think back about this. Diseases we thought were gone forever are coming back, aren't they? The Black Plague was found in the Southwest. Monkeypox, a relative of smallpox, I'm told. And now New York State is dealing with a significant outbreak of polio. I was a polio pioneer, you know? When I was in, I think, second grade, I was told by the teacher, get up and get in a line and march in and get a shot. No one asked my parents if I was supposed to do that or not. And we thought we had eradicated polio forever. But we have not. It's back. It's back. To what era would we return? Of course, would anyone want to go back to a time earlier than July 23rd, 1904? Do you know what happened on that auspicious day? The ice cream cone was invented. Religious faith calls us to look longingly, not to the past, but to the future. Life is out ahead of all of us. God continues to lead us forward, just as those heroes of the past were led forward. Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees to the future nation of Israel. Moses from Egypt to the promised land. If either of those two prophets had chosen the comforts of their present situation and rejected the future, how different would the history of the world be? How different would our very lives be? So let us have faith in the future, as the writer of the letter to the Hebrews suggests. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And I know that God will be with us every step of the way. Amen. Mm-hmm.